Father, this morning we just come to you, and we just ask you to, as we open our word and hear the message, Father, that you would just dissipate among all here the love, the mercy, and compassion you have for them. Open their eyes and clear their ears that they can understand it with clarity. We thank you for the great sacrifice you've given us. And in your name we pray. Amen. You know, every person has reached a point in their life where they've wanted to accomplish something very badly, but became discouraged and quit. We've all had those things we've strongly desired to do, but we've all failed in reaching some of those goals sometimes, especially, you know, after the first of the year, everybody wants the exercise thing to kick in, and that lasts maybe for a while, but just kind of quit. Michelle Ferris has reached her doctorate degree finally. She did not quit on that, so everybody give a big hand for that. There are those things that you keep pursuing and keep pursuing, and even if it just seems like no end in sight, eventually that day will get here. And I know Michelle's put a lot of work in that. So some things we do quit when they're just too long, or we get tired with them, or they're just too encumbrancing to our lives. But on the flip side of that coin, something good like a bad habit or something that can perhaps harm you if you quit that can be good. There was a juggler driving to his next performance that he had, and he was stopped by the police. And the policeman approached the driver, and he notices in the back seat, he says, "What are those machetes doing in the back seat of your car?" And the juggler responded, "Well, I use them to juggle in my act." And the cop says, "Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you get out of the car and let me see you do it? I don't know if I trust you or not." So the juggler gets out of his car and he starts tossing his machete knives and doing his juggling routine. Well, another man and his wife happen to be driving by, and they kind of just slow down a little bit to see what's going on. And the man says to his wife, he says, "Wow," he says, "I'm glad I quit drinking." He says, "Look at the test they're giving them now." So, you know, some things are good to quit, but in Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 35 to the end of the chapter, it says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that you, when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to preserving the soul." Have you ever felt like quitting something? I mean, I'm sure one of us in here has a time or two. I guess people feel sometimes like quitting their job if it becomes too monotonous or just too crazy in their lives. Or if you're in sports, maybe you want to quit football or quit basketball if it just takes too much of your time, or if you just see that it's just starting to consume you. So, I mean, things like quitting church, or things that you have a lot of time invested in, or quitting a relationship even, or just one of those things. One of the largest organizations in America is called the Quitters Club. Anybody ever hear of it? Well, probably the reason you haven't heard of it too much is because they never meet. The quitters kept coming, so there wasn't any dues to pay them, and so the members just kind of quit paying the dues, and so they just quit coming. Quitters Club is made up of people who faced a tough job, or faced a tough marriage, or faced a tough sickness or a failure, and then they just ended up quitting. But if you're a human being and have blood pumping through your veins, at one time or another, you felt like giving up. I don't know how many of you have any WD-40, but you've seen the can before, WD-40 lube. I mean, you can use that thing for anything, lubing hinges, taking bugs off your car, using it for spraying on your pots and pans before you cook. Well, maybe not that, but it has a multiplicity of purposes you can do with that stuff. But does anyone know what the WD stands for on WD-40? Thank you, water displacement, absolutely. Now, does anyone know what the 40 stands for? Very good. How many times they tried to make that thing, that effective formula? They tried 39 times, and they failed. But by the 40th time, they finally succeeded in making it what it is. Point of that illustration is just don't give up. Don't quit when you're tired. Don't quit when you fail. Just when you meet obstacles, because sometimes we feel like giving up. Sometimes we want to throw in the towel. But like in that last verse, chapter 10, verse 39, it says, we are a people that does not retreat during our battle times. I want to share with you a story today. I believe it will open up some areas in your life. Maybe some need to hear it, maybe in the particular season of life that you're in, or maybe you thought about quitting your marriage, or felt like giving up on the faith, or just tired of the battles that you're going through, or the struggles, or something that just keeps after you, and you just want to give up. But I believe today, God will strengthen you in your mind and in your heart and in your determination to keep after it. Because when it's all said and done, it's not about human willpower, or it's not about our human ability to be able to necessarily accomplish what we want to do in our spiritual lives. But He fills you with His precious promises that He has. And so when you can get up again and feel like going out and see what God's will for your life is and what He's done. Because everybody in here in this room has an option to quit. I mean, God's not the one just makes you, forces you to do something. Everybody here has an option to quit and to give up. You can draw back, or you can quit, or you can give up. You can give up on your marriage. You can give up on your dream. You can quit living for the Lord. You can give up walking with the Lord. You can give up reading the Bible if you started trying to read the Bible all the way through. You can do anything. I mean, you can give in to the flesh if you want. I mean, the lust, the sin. Just say, I'm just tired of this battle I'm trying to fight. I'm tired of living it. But today my hope is to convince you, or to maybe persuade you, to remove that never give up or never give in option in your life. There's a book out called The Lone Survivor, a book that was written by the Navy SEAL Mark Luttrell. And he wrote about a battle that took place in Afghanistan back in the year 2006, in which it became the deadliest day in history for Navy SEALs. 20 of our soldiers, our elite soldiers, were Navy SEALs. We're not talking just regular battlemen, battlemen accustomed. These are Navy SEALs. They were killed that day when a helicopter came in and was trying to fly them in and get them out. And out of the hostile fight, there was about 20 of them, and there was about 150 Taliban soldiers that had cut them off. And in the attempt to rescue them, the helicopter was shot down also after attempting to rescue them. It became the deadliest day in history for the Navy SEALs. And that day, 20 men were killed, and the author of that book, Marcus Luttrell, was the lone survivor. But in his book, he takes the first few chapters and he begins to go into detail about what it's involved in becoming a Navy SEAL, the training process. He tells about how if they're qualified and meet the qualifications and they pass the first round of testing, then they're sent to Coronado Beach in California. And it's there they begin a two-month rigorous training course on teaching them and putting their bodies basically through hell. It's just really rough. And it's designed to weed out those who are not strong, and it's designed to weed out those who are not the best of the best. As a matter of fact, once you make it through that two-month course, if you make it through, and about the time that the 2 months is over, then you go through the real test. And the real test is what's known as called Hell Week, because they make you run for miles and they make you swim in the sea and they make you try to climb on rafts and do all of these things. They're not allowed to eat anything for hardly 4 days, and they're sleep deprived, and they run them into the surf of the ocean with 60 degree temperatures. Just a Hell Week for them, and that's why it's called that. And one of the instructors made a reference in his book, and he says, what we're after is your mind. I mean, your body can put up a lot if it's been trained. And remember, these men have been trained for 2 months to physically withstand a lot of pain and withstand a lot of abuse. But he goes on to say, we're after your mind, because what we're trying to do is to break your mind. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, Mark was telling us about his training as a Marine, and he said that's what they do. They just break down your mind and they rebuild it how they want you to think. So it's a literal process. And it's just a hard thing to go through. But consequently, there's a little bell that they have. Anytime that you're going through Hell Week, and when things get really bad, and you can't stand it anymore, and you can't take it anymore because the pressure's too great, and the soreness is too great, and your body's aching, and it's just unbearable, and you're tired of being screamed at by your instructors, and cursed at, and humiliated, and stepped on. At some point, if it becomes so much to where you can't take it anymore physically, or you can't take it anymore emotionally, there's a little bell outside the dining hall. And all you have to do is break rank, walk over. You don't have to say anything to your instructor or anybody. And he said, all you have to do is to ring that bell. And in that ringing that bell, what you're doing is you're letting them know that you're giving up. You're giving in to quit. It's just too much. And what you do is you take your helmet off and you set it down. And in that moment, you don't have to explain anything to anybody. You don't have to justify anything to anybody. No questions will be asked. Nobody's going to ridicule you because they're all going to the same thing. But they said you can go to your barracks and take a nice, hot, warm shower. And then you can go in the dining hall and they'll feed you a delicious hot meal. And afterwards, a bus will take you back to wherever you came from without any more obligations whatsoever. And it's interesting, but he told in this book, he said about one man who had been with him the whole 2 months of the physical training and rigorous training that they endured. And he said he somehow emerged as this elite soldier in everybody's mind and group. Marcus Luttrell states, he says that if there ever was a soldier, that young man was a soldier. If there's anybody you wanted in a foxhole besides yourself, he said this was the guy. He was that kind of a leader. That kind of courageous man that had that boldness of, and he just seemed to be physically stronger than anybody else in the unit. And everybody else knew that one day he would probably be a great commander in the armed forces. And yet by the fifth day of Hell Week, they were all stunned to see him break rank and go over and ring the bell. And as he was walking over, Luttrell states, he told his instructor, he said, please let me talk with him. He's out of his mind. He's delirious. He really doesn't know what he's doing. He's not thinking straight. He hasn't slept for days. He hasn't eaten a good meal in days. His body's just probably having some type of breakdown today. He's the best soldier in this unit, and everybody in this unit knows he's the best soldier. Let me stop him. Let me try to talk some sense into him. And Luttrell said that his instructor said to him, he said, in all of our experience, if ever a man is headed toward that bell, they'll never change their mind. Even if you could change their mind, and after they've been headed to the bell and they were about to ring it and talk them out of it, they would still probably eventually go back, in all his experience. He said, we've never had one that just didn't eventually go back and ring the bell again. And they'll never finish the program. The instructor went on to say, they never make it to the end because in their mind, they've crossed this bridge, this place where you've decided to give up and give in. And it doesn't matter how much you try to talk them out of it, they just go and continue on. And what I believe we need to understand and what we need to get hold of about that day is Luttrell stated that in that day, he watched the strong, powerful man who was much stronger and powerfully than he was walk over and ring that bell, signifying that he's giving up, he's giving in. He's exercised his option to quit. And he said, it was that day that I realized it's not a physical battle that we're fighting here on this beach. He said, it's a mental battle. And he went on to state, he said, I recognize now that this is a mental thing I'm dealing with. And he said, I decided right then on that day on the beach, I made a decision that I would rather die on this beach than give up and go ring that bell. And the same is true in our spiritual walk. We need to understand that it's a battle for our lives, a battle for our families, a battle for our very soul. And the enemy is going to throw everything he can at you to get you down, to discourage us. But really, it's not about the real battle that's going on, if you think about it. The battle's not with your family. The battle's not with the trouble in your family. It's not necessarily about your financial problem or the sickness or even problems in marriage. The real battle, what the devil is really after, is to break down your mind. He wants to break you down mentally so he can build you back up thinking the way he wants you to think. He wants you to give up. He wants you to give in. He wants you to quit. He wants you to say, I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to live this life anymore. I don't feel like taking a stand for Christ anymore. I'm going back. I'm going to exercise my quit option, and I'm just going to ring that bell. I'm not going to fight the way I used to be. I just don't want to fight anymore. And I want to encourage you to never give up and never give in. And for you to remove that option in your mind to quit. Because if you ever reach that place, if you ever make up in your mind and say, I'm not going to quit, and stay to it, well, then that's when the battle's really won, is when you've decided that. The Bible reads, like I mentioned earlier in verse 39, we are not of those who draw back. That's a great scripture. Because many started out so strong, they start out so good with such good intentions, they start out on fire for God, and somewhere along the way they enter into their own hell week. And trouble starts to break them down and mentally, physically, emotionally. And we need to get our minds set on this is not for what I can get out of God, and not what I can get for what the church can give me, not what I can get out of Jesus for the promises that he promised he would do. I'm in this because he first loved me. And he gave himself for me. And even if he never answers another prayer, I'll never ring that bell. That's what we got to get in our minds. I have nothing to go back to. My worst day with Jesus is better than my best day in the world without God. Amen? I don't care what the enemy throws at me. I've made up my mind. I'm not turning back. I'm not of those who draw back. There's no option to never give up, never give in. I'm not going to ring that bell in Jesus' name. And you just have to get that within your spirit. I've had prayers answered, and I've had prayers go unanswered. I've had miracles happen, and I've had huge disappointments. I've had high mountains when God has showed me wondrous things in the Scripture and in the Spirit. And then I've had my share of valleys where I've just felt God forsaken and cried many a tear in my soul late at night. And what I've learned is this, is for me, I crossed that bridge a long time ago. I mean, the enemy can hit me with everything I've got and I'll still be in church praising and lifting my hands. That's the mindset we have to get. Let it get our mindset of I'll still open my mouth and praise. I'll still worship him with my tithes and offerings. I'll still serve him with all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And I've made up my mind, just as many of you have, that I'm never going to ring that bell and I'm never going to walk away from God. I'm never going to quit church. I'm never going to give up on my family. Never going to give up on my children. I'm never going to stop. And that's what has to get hold of in your spirit. You've got to get that determination. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20, verses 19 through 24. And he says, I was serving the Lord with many tears and temptations. appears in temptations. And there were people who were positioning themselves and waiting for me just to fall, just to see me fall and fail. And Paul continued, he said, furthermore, the Holy Spirit witnessed to me that in every city there would be afflictions and bonds that was going to await me in chains. It's pretty sad when there's nothing but trouble when you're trying to serve the Lord. In every city that you go to, you know that you're going to face some odds. But Paul continues to say, he said, but none of these things move me, and neither do I count my life dear unto myself. And listen to these words. He says, that I might finish the course with joy. With joy. I mean, Paul made up his mind that he's never going to give up, and aren't you glad that he did? He did not give up. He was determined to make up his mind and press on. Paul knew that he was going to go through some stuff. And everywhere he went, he was determined to pursue the Spirit unless the Spirit told him otherwise, which is in the case a couple of times in Acts. But welcome what it means to be a believer in this world when that happens. You're going to have persecution and you're going to have trouble. The good thing is we're not a bunch of beat up victims and beat up people that we just have to lay down and just say, okay, we give up. Instead, we're strong in our minds and we're strong in our determination. And one of these days when Jesus appears, our reward will be with Him. Amen? And I'm looking forward to that day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, Paul says, I've been flogged more times, more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. I've been in prison more frequently, 5 times, matter of fact. He said, I received flogging 3 times. I was beaten with rods. I was once stoned, the kind with rocks. I was beat up. I was shipwrecked. And you thought a Navy SEAL was bad. A tough time to be a Navy SEAL, but Paul was shipwrecked. He said, I was floating around in an open sea for a day and a half. I've been rescued from dangerous rivers and dangerous robbers and bandits, people that lie in wait for me. I escaped danger in the wilderness, wild animals chasing after me. And among false brothers, I've survived that. And in weariness and sleep deprivation and coldness and painfulness and nakedness. Besides all this, I have the responsibility to care for all these churches. You'd think at what point is enough for Paul? You'd think that the impact alone and what Paul has seen would just say, I'm quitting. I can't take it. You'd think at one point Paul would say, it's just time for me to go in and ring that bell. It's time for me to give up. It's time for me to quit. I've just seen and been through too much. Been through so much pain, and God's just given me more than my fair share. I think I'll just check out. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know I have to have all this pain and suffering I go through. But with Paul, there was no quitting that man. He was determined and he was relentless in what he did. Matter of fact, Paul's the one that said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining or pressing toward ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. How can he say that? When all that he's gone through, he just mentioned, how can he say that? He says that because he has removed that quit option. He's crossed that bridge in his mind where he says, I'm never going to quit. Paul also told young Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And that's the point that you have to come to, that you have become persuaded. And that's the point you have to get to where I understand, I get it. That, Lord, nothing is going to change my mind. I never want to ring that bell to quit. I want to keep on. Luttrell goes further on stating in his book, he said, after the week of Hell Week, in the middle of Friday, he says, I remember being so exhausted physically. And yet he had crossed that bridge in his mind that says, I'll never quit. I'll never give in. But he went on to say, after he finished one instruction, the instructor would lead him to do another, and then another, and then another. There wasn't any of this, hey, okay, you finished your instruction, wait for the rest of the guys to catch up. No, he would just immediately send them to one or another. And he carried on thinking that it was going to go from one horrible and physical strain to another. And he said, finally, he was told by the instructor to go over there to that staging area and wait for further instructions. And he thought, that was odd. So he went over there, and when he got there, he, instead of another instructor screaming at him and hollering at him for do the next assignment, there were soldiers there. And they were dressed in full uniform with their jackets and their decorated medals, and they began to congratulate him, saying, I'm glad that you made it through Hell Week. You're now a Navy SEAL. Congratulations. And that's what it's all about, is to make it in and to finish that course. I mean, others, think about it. Others have been where you are, and they made it. Why would you want to quit? I'm telling you, something with somebody has been going through, and I'm just telling you, don't do it, because they didn't ring that bell. So you don't need to give up. You don't need to quit. You don't need to allow the enemy to cause you to take that option and give up. You just have to say in your spirit, I'm never going to quit. Because there comes a time when the process weeds out everyone in their mind who hasn't made up their mind. The process is to weed out. And I thought about some of us today, because right now you may be living for God, but you're not really going through anything. And if your mind is not made up when that real battle comes, you see, the reason Mark Luttrell spent so much time in his book talking about what they went through the training and to the physical rigorousness that they went through, is that when he got in the battle in Afghanistan years later, and he's been shipped to Afghanistan, and his training is over, and now he's in the battle, and he watches all of his buddies get killed or slaughtered. And now he's been shot, and he's been wounded, and he's been being pursued, and he's running away, and he jumps off a mountain, and he breaks his leg, and he keeps running, and he tells his body, just shut up and do what I do tell you to do. I don't care what you feel, you got to keep pressing forward. Where did that come from? He's got bullet holes in him. He's running with broken bones. He's fighting for his life. Everything in him is screaming, give up. But he kept fighting, and somehow he withstood 150 Taliban until additional help was able to come. And he tried to save some of his comrades and keep them alive in the process, and it was an absolute amazing feat. But he said, I really won the victory back on that beach when I decided that I would never give up, I would never give in, I was never ever going to ring that bell. And he recounts, he said, I lost my buddies as they fought, but there wasn't a one of them who gave up in despair. He says, there wasn't any one of them who said, you know, this is a hopeless thing. We might as well just quit, give up. He said, all of them stood to the last minute and they fought, all because they all had crossed that mental bridge in their minds. He says, I'm not going to quit. And what I'm saying to you this morning is you've got to have that same type of determination if you're going to serve the Lord. If you're going to serve the Lord in this day and time, when the fight is on and you can see it on the TVs, you can see it around you, you have to have it branded in your mind. You have to have it inked in your mind, tattooed, whatever you want to call it. It has to be in your mind that I've removed the quit option. Hebrews chapter 12:2 states it like this. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the finisher of our faith, who for joy, there's that word again, who for joy went on for the task set before him, which was the cross. He endured the cross. He endured everything that was thrown at him. He endured the whip when they beat his back until it looked like ribbons of flesh falling off of his back. When he endured the poundings on his face, the spit, the accusations, the slap of the palms against his face. And he endured the nails when they stretched out his arms and legs and nailed them to the timbers on the cross. He would never ring out that option to quit. And all he had to do was to ring out the bell and give that quit option. And at any moment, 10,000 angels would have come and rescued him from the cross. But he said something in his mind. He said, I've got to finish this journey. I've made up my mind back in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was his beach. That said, not my will, but thine be done. And he said, I'm never going to ring that bell. And when they put the crown of thorns on his head, and they stabbed him in the side, and they nailed him to the cross, and when he was hung suspended between earth and heaven, he cries out, it is finished. I've done what the Father has told me to do. I'm not going to exercise my option to quit on these people that I love so dearly. Hebrews 12:3 goes on to state, it says, consider him. Consider him who endured with such hostility that you don't grow weary and that you don't lose heart. When you get in your battle, when you get in your struggle, and it's your time to go through Hell Week, consider him, how he endured. Consider how he wouldn't give up. Consider how he kept carrying that cross to where he was going, how he was bled, how he was wounded, how he died, how he could have stopped it all by ringing that bell toward heaven. But thanks be to God, he would not do it. And so consider him and do not grow weary and do not lose heart. As you look around and see these American flags, they stand as a symbol. They're not just for decoration. They stand for a symbol of those who did not give up. For over 240 years, since the birth of our nation, men and women have served, and they've fought, and they've cried, and died for these symbols that are around this room. And likewise, as saints of Christ here this morning gathered to worship, in a spirit of truthfulness, we owe it to their next generation to do the same. Because if we don't do it, nobody will. Don't ring that bell. Don't give up. Don't quit. Instead, we can look up because our God is in control. And we don't have to give up because we can always look up because he's always there. And he's always faithful, and he's always consistent, and he's never too busy to answer your prayer for what you have on your heart or what you're going through. Because there comes a time in life of every believer that you have to decide in your mind and making it up that you're not going to give up, that you're not going to quit, you're not going to ring that bell as a way out. And how to do that is to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I'd like to give you that opportunity right now to join me in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me, cleanse me, take me. I don't want to quit. I'm ready for a new beginning, God. Strengthen me and help me to rise up and be what you want me to be. Today, I surrender my life in your name, Jesus. Amen. It's so good to know that you've been forgiven. And if you prayed that prayer with me in sincerity to your heart, or if you actually have crossed that bridge in your mind, that mental bridge that says, I'm not going to quit. I would rather die than not here than not quit, than just to quit my faith in Christ. Well, then you're ready for the battle if you've crossed that bridge. It may take you 39 times until you're finally victorious. And on that 40th time, you're victorious. And when you do, you can say with confidence and faith, I know in whom I have believed that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him today. If you need prayer for anything or would like to stand in agreement or encouragement, we have prayer partners after the service, after I close. Please feel free to come. Because to never ring that bell, to never quit, Jesus says, I will give you a crown of righteousness when I see you. And that's all well worth it. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you for today as we can come as your children, as your believers, and knowing that you're a trusting and loving Father who gives us grace and mercy. So many times when we don't even need it, you still impart it to us. And so, Father, I'm asking us to please give us the faithfulness and the determination to never quit on you, to never quit, and to hold that promise that you've given us dearly into our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is always around for strength and access and encouragement and to guide us, to show us the right way. So, Father, I ask this morning that you would just impart that to us. And for those of us who have problems and wondering if we're really going to finish the course, if we're really going to make it, give us that wisdom, that reveal yourself and show them that you're for real. That is, you're not a make-believe character. You are for real. And you want them to win in the life that they're living. Not to be constantly bombarded with struggles, but to show some victory in your life. Real victory comes from you. We thank you for that, Father. If people from the internet send us requests for prayer and answers, I know that there are people here today that have the same thing. And so, Father, please encourage them. Please show them that there is hope. And let us stand together as a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against, but it's built on you, a solid foundation that can stand with them. And when they fall, we lift them back up and carry them on to show them we can do it. We'll never give up. We'll never give in. And we're never quitting or ringing that bell. And we thank you, Jesus, for the abundance that you've given us, the blood that you shed for us, and the cleansing that you provide us. It's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.